we haven't met before, my name is Tim Ward. I'm the pastor here at Crossroads, and I'm so grateful that you're here. Whether you're here in person or you're here online today, I'm just so grateful that you've taken the time to be here. We're going to talk today about gratitude. And I got to tell you, I've been searching the last week about all these things that I'm grateful for. And look, I'm super grateful for my family, and I'm grateful for health, and I'm grateful for friends, and I'm grateful for our home. But I have to tell you, the theme that came up over and over again for me this week was how grateful I am for you and what a gift it is to be your pastor. So as we talk about gratitude today, I want to just put that out there as we start. Holy Spirit, that's what our hearts long for. To be so overwhelmed by you, to be pushed, to be encouraged, to be filled. God, let us open ourselves to you. God, there's so much hurt in the world, so much pain, people going through so many difficult things. As I think about people in this church today, God, dealing with loved ones who are really sick, folks dealing with jobs that they've lost, God, people longing for community and relationship, and those coming this morning, God, who are filled with joy. God, help us, no matter what our circumstances, to find a place of gratitude because of your deep love for us. God, as I speak today, speak through me. God, in some way, give us ears to hear what you want us to hear. Open our minds to understanding and allow our hearts to be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, help me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So for most of us in this room, we probably remember an event that was really potent that happened in April of 2013. It was the Boston Marathon. And it was a day for those who stay connected to the Boston Marathon or any running or anything, will never forget it was the day that as people crossed the finish line, explosives went off. Do you remember this? And there were three lives that were taken. There were hundreds of people who were injured. There were people who lost some of their limbs. And it was a powerful, powerful experience. And it was another place in our country, another time for us to think, it's not everywhere we go that we can feel safe, right? Everywhere. You think people going to run a marathon, that would, other than running the marathon, that would feel a relatively safe thing. But it put things in perspective for people, and people were really challenged by it. And a year later, New York Times decided to do an article on it. To say a year later, we want to talk to some of the people that went through it. And as they did this article, they found a lot of the realistic, normal things. It was terrifying. It was painful. People were angry that it had happened, that this thing that was so special to them had been taken from them. But there was a surprise that came in the interviews that were covered. The surprise was gratitude. How in the world can you have gratitude for something like this? Well, I want to read you some of the things that people wrote. One of the survivors put it this way: life, it's short. The day of the marathon just reinforces my belief. Life is short and you need to cherish every moment. A 45-year-old female lawyer reflected on this and what she had learned after a year of this happening. It said, it was such a terrible tragedy that sometimes I feel guilty because it was actually a blessing for me. It made my life more rich, more full. I learned how to appreciate living in the moment, and I learned not to worry and stress about things as much. I don't let work bother me. Ooh. I don't let piddling money issues bother me. It was not even a conscious effort on my part. It just changed my attitude. And one more, there were lots, but I'll share one more. A 39-year-old scientist said this: I've had moments where I can't believe how close everything came. Now I embrace life for what it is. I want to keep on living and propel my positive energy to help other people be more positive. I mean, how in the world can people walk away from something like this with responses like that? We're in this series we've just started last week called Gratitude Adjustment, where we're looking at our lives and we're trying to say, how can we have gratitude, not just in the times when our circumstances dictate it, right? Because listen, if things are really good, if the stock market is great, if you have a great job, if all your family is healthy, If all things are going your way, it can be pretty easy to show gratitude, right? But how do we show gratitude in the reality of our lives? Because the truth is, most of the time when things aren't going my way, I can often respond with irritability rather than gratitude. Just ask my family. But I want to invite us collectively into a life that's full of gratitude, irrespective of our circumstances. A life that's filled with gratitude no matter what's going on, because a life that's filled with gratitude changes our lives. We looked at all the science last week. We looked at all of the things that come from Scripture that talk about this life of gratitude and how that transforms us and makes us happier. And I want to thank those of you who took this exercise that I gave you last week seriously. Those who are journaling, just out of curiosity, there's no judgment here. How many people journaled some this last week? All right. Right, those who take that exercise seriously, you've still got time, by the way. It's okay, but if you take that exercise seriously, it's going to be transformative. How many people wrote a thank you note this past week to somebody? Right? It can be a transformative exercise. So much so, I had some people in the church reach out to me and talk about the work of being grateful this past week and things they had done. Somebody said, I needed this in my life. I needed a cleansing. I needed to cleanse myself from all the negative thoughts and things that I was dealing with. Somebody said, it's just reframing everything for me. It's helping me think about the way that I interact with other people. Another person said, it's made me feel more joyful, have more energy in just 1 week. And I want to thank you for those who've reached out. One person even shared on social media about a really difficult thing that is going on in her life. A really challenging thing. And how, frankly, when I gave the challenge last week to be more grateful, she was angry. Because she's dealing with this really, really challenging thing. And she said, but what she decided was to be grateful for the person that was going through the difficult thing because of the impact that he had had on her life. Friends, it's all about perspective. It's all about how we look at things and how we choose to look at things. We can choose to look at the world from an incredibly negative perspective, from an incredibly a perspective of, well, I didn't get what I wanted and I didn't get what I needed and my thing is not there. But I got to tell you what, I've never seen that make anybody happy. I've never seen that bring joy to anybody. I was listening to a podcast recently. I love the Moth Radio Hour. If you've never listened to Moth, I love it because it's different stories and different people telling the stories. And this specific story on the Moth Radio Hour came from a woman named Jane Green. Jane is a 44-year-old female author who lives in New York City. And she told the story about how she was out walking around in New York City one day, and she was just walking around, and she started to notice no one was looking at her. Nobody at all. And she said she was walking through the city, and she was expecting, in her words, for some men to look at her, to pay attention to her. And she said, somehow, in my 44 years of life, I had lost it. I had lost being beautiful. There wasn't perspective. She had had 5 kids, and she said somehow that had lost it. And then she thought about it, and she stood there, and she said, not even my husband looks at me anymore. And she said, in all these years of marriage and in all these children, they had lost their spark. And she was really in a difficult place. Well, she's an author, and she was invited to speak on this panel of people who had written these books. And before she went out that night to speak on the panel, she decided to go and have a drink to calm herself a little bit. And as she's sitting at the bar, there's this handsome young man that comes and sits beside her. And after a little bit of conversation, she finds out that he's one of the authors that will also be on the panel. And he started asking her things about herself, and she felt like he was flirting with her. And she got kind of excited about this. She felt noticed. She said, wow, this is really, really cool. And they struck up a good conversation, and it was really interesting. And things could have ended there because they went and they were on the panel. But after the panel, she felt so good about it, she decided to email this guy. And they started emailing back and forth, and he kept telling her all of these amazing things about her and about her writing and how beautiful she was. And he called her his sweet lady, Jane. You see where this is going, right? And he kept communicating with her, and they decided they were going to go and meet in L.A. They were going to go and do this thing, and they were going to connect and meet in L.A. Well, she comes to her husband, and she says, honey, I'm going on this trip to L.A. And he says, oh, I don't want you to go. And she gets really angry at her husband. Why would you say that? Why wouldn't you want me to go? And he said, well, that's my birthday. And she said she felt really terrible. It was September 4th, and she was going on her husband's birthday on this trip. And he said, I tell you what, I'll come with you on the trip. And she said, okay, you can come with me on the trip, but I have this dinner that I'm having one night that you can't come to. And he said, okay, because see, he knew, he had picked up that she had this little crush on this guy. So they go to LA and they go on this trip and they go out. And then the next morning he wakes up and he says, hey, I'm going with you to the dinner tonight. And she says, awesome. Great. So they sit down the dinner. It's her husband, her, and this other author. And she did not say one word the entire dinner because her husband and this author just hit it off. Right? They become like best friends and they're talking about all of these wonderful things and they're connecting. And she goes, oh my gosh, there's a bromance happening right here in front of my eyes. And the guy, the author, gets up and he goes to the bathroom and her husband says, wow, that's a really good looking man. And she's like, right, I know, right? So she said in that moment, she realized as she observed her husband with this other guy, why she loved her husband so much. She realized in that moment what a gift he was and how she had stopped paying attention. So she gets home that night and she gets an email from this author. And the author writes her and says, your husband is about one of the greatest people I've ever met in my life. He's amazing. And her response, it was her last response to this author was, you're absolutely right. I said last week, I used this quote, we're knee-deep in a river searching for water. Jane was knee-deep in a river, and she's looking for something different. Friends, so much of our life is spent searching for the next thing, looking for that next greater thing, trying to find the thing that will ultimately make us happy. I mean, I said last week that advertisers use that against us. If you only had this thing, your life would be so much better. See, Jane had forgotten that she was standing in this beautiful, free-flowing river. She had forgotten about the gifts in her life. It seemed as if this beautiful young author that she met was the person that she needed. But she forgot about that. Friends, gratitude is about paying attention. Gratitude is about being intentional. I want to read to you a passage this morning that comes from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, which, by the way, is much less happy-go-lucky and wonderful people than the first letter Paul writes to the Corinthians. They haven't figured everything out, right? So he writes this second letter, and it's on this concept of gratitude. And I want you to hear about the people that he says they should model their life after. It's 2 Corinthians 8, 1-7. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people as they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Paul's talking to them about the people that make up the Macedonian churches. And it's important to have you a little bit of context about the Macedonians. The Macedonians lived in the absolute poorest community around. They had the least amount of resources. It wasn't the land of milk and honey. It wasn't the place where industry was booming. And the Macedonians find themselves in this place. And Paul is trying to encourage the Corinthians, who've had a lot of resources, to be as generous as the Macedonians are, to help these new churches that are starting, that are struggling. And he uses this example. And I want to go back and read verses 2 to 4 to you again. It says, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. He's telling them, be like the Macedonians. Can you imagine telling a wealthier community to be more like a poorer community? Be like them. Serve like them. Care like them. Because what Paul knew that their gratitude, the Macedonians' gratitude, was not a result of their circumstances. That they were grateful simply for who God was. They were grateful for God's love in their lives. They were grateful for one another. They were grateful for the capacity to journey through life together. And their generosity that they gave was greater than anyone ever expected. It was as if Paul was telling them, no, don't be so generous. You don't have the resources. And yet they were. They were incredibly generous, and their generosity welled out of their love for God. Their generosity welled out of their love for one another. See, the Macedonians realize they're in a river. They realize when they look around, they have resources that they need. They have one another. They realize that they have the grace of God. They're in the midst of the wonderful gift of that grace and God's love. And it's an important thing to pay attention to. I've tried studying the Macedonians because I want to be more like them. Because they teach me that this generous spirit that comes from gratitude shouldn't come from whether I'm happy with the song that I heard this morning. Right? It shouldn't come from whether I felt like the bagels were as good as last week. Or even if everybody was nice to me when I walked in. The Macedonians' generosity comes out of their love for God and their understanding of God's love for them. Look at what Paul says to the Corinthians. I love this contrast. Since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Paul's saying, pay attention to the gifts that you have. Church. And be the church. Use those resources as a response of gratitude. He wants them to understand the gifts that they have. He wants them to understand that they're standing in a river. Friends, if you get out of this series and nothing you hear is but pay attention to the river that you're in, your life could be transformed. Pay attention to it. Think about the gifts that you have. You know how easy it is for me to sit in my home and forget what a gift the people in my home are? Maybe because they didn't take the trash out. Maybe because they left their shoes down. Man, if my gratitude is based on that, I got my priorities wrong. And I'm messing them up. Because I bet the Macedonians didn't care where people put their shoes. Theirs came out of their love for God. I want you to imagine this morning. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. I want to invite you to do that. It's not a mandate, it's a request. Close your eyes for a minute. I want to invite you to think about your river. What's the river that you're standing in? What are the gifts that you have around you? How do those gifts bring joy to your life? Don't think about the challenges. For just a moment, I want to invite you to think just about the river. All right, you can open your eyes. If there was something that you pictured in your river, if there was something that you saw when you envisioned that, don't go to bed tonight without telling the person that's in that river. Don't just let it go. Make sure you share that. Share that gratitude with others. So last week I asked you to take a 21-day journey with me to fill out a journal, and I hope that you'll keep doing that. If you haven't started, it's okay. You can start tomorrow. Gratitude will still be necessary tomorrow. I asked you to write a thank you note to somebody, and I hope you've done that, but if you haven't, you can still do that this week. And I want to ask you for something a little bit different this week. Susan mentioned it when she was talking earlier. We have these cards that you'll find in your worship guide this week. They say estimate of giving. And I want to invite you to use this as a thank you note that you're going to write to God and to your church. I want to invite you to think about, how do I want to be generous? How do I want to hone the Macedonian calling from God and be generous to my church over the next year? Now, here's the deal. I don't want you to write a number on it today. You can think about it over this next week. You'll get a letter in the mail if this is your church this week, and you can do that too. But on October 30th, which is 2 weeks from today, I want you to bring it. Last year, we had a moment where we were celebrating and people could celebrate. And I haven't asked, Mary Helen, I haven't asked you if I can say this, but I'm going to say it. I hope that's okay. You'll forgive me later for it, I'm sure. But Mary Helen got up and she danced her estimate of giving card to the front of the church last year. And honestly, there's a lot of moments that I've done things in church, but I got to tell you, that brought me a lot of joy. Because what I know is that she gives out of the gratitude of her heart. And she gives generously from the joy that she has for her loving God. And you know what? I want to be like you, Mary Helen. I want to give from the joy of my heart. So I want to encourage you to think about that, that that's your note that you're writing this week. A note of generosity to your church, a note of generosity to God. And look, the number is less important to me than the act of doing it, than taking the time. Susan mentioned a few things. Because of your generosity, people's feet are going to be warm this winter. They're going to have coats when they're cold. Because of your generosity, people are going to have meals at Thanksgiving. Because of your generosity, kids are going to have Christmas gifts. Because of your generosity, people's electric bills have been paid. Their water bills have been paid. People haven't been kicked out of their homes. Because of your generosity, people can experience the beauty of this community. People are learning English. Kids in Uganda are going to school. Because of your generosity, because you give, kids' lives are being changed. Not just in Uganda, here in Ashburn, Virginia. Because of your generosity, the world is transformed. And look, people tell me all the time, I have conversations with all the time about how bad the world is right now. And I think about this church. And how much you change the world and how much you transform the world and how you're unapologetic about doing it, how you want to do it and how it matters. So I want to invite you, fill out that card, fill out that estimate of giving card. If you're not going to be here in 2 weeks, put it in the mail. You can fill it out online. I love the act of bringing it forward because it's going to be fun. And we're going to do that together and we're going to celebrate that day. We're going to celebrate the goodness and the impact of this church, but I want to encourage you to do it. Friends, if we wait for our entire life to line up perfectly before we experience gratitude, it will never happen. Because there'll never be a moment when every single thing is perfect. But God's love for you is there through every single one of those moments. No matter what your story is, no matter what you bring in today, no matter what you're working with, what you're walking through. And I hope that you see the river that you're standing in. Frankly, I hope that you see this church as part of your river. And if today's your first Sunday, welcome to the river. I hope you see it as part of the grace. I hope you experience it. Friends, I don't want to be a grumpy person. I don't want to spend my life looking for all the things that aren't right. And I think the steps to get beyond that begin with gratitude.